This is the Shanachie for Friday, the 21st of July, entitled Three Stories. For more information, to make a donation, leave a comment, buy a t-shirt, or read a few of the text posts that are growing in frequency, visit theshanachie.com. For the Shanachie, I'm Patrick McLean. Story number one comes from a friend of mine named Paul.
You know, I'd always been like a 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. writer. And then we had our first son, and he was just not a good sleeper, and I was too tired. And so for the first year, I couldn't write. And then he started getting into a groove. About the same time this whole thing, plan to write a book, came together, he started getting in the groove of getting up at about 5 in the morning, which I was not happy about, but, you know, what are you going to do, right? So I decided to start using that time, you know, from about 5:30 to 7:30, and write. And I'd never written a book before. I'd written plenty of other stuff, but not a book. So I didn't want to get my wife involved in some scheme where I was like, no, honey, I can't do that thing with you today because I'm going to work on my book, which is going to be, you know, bought by Simon & Schuster, and, you know, there's going to be this huge printing, and I guarantee it. So, you know, I knew nothing. I didn't know anybody in the publishing field. So I just kind of kept it quiet. I didn't want to, like, crash and burn in front of my wife. So, but, you know, gradually it started to accrue, and I got, like, a critical mass going where all of a sudden I knew I was going to finish it. And ultimately I did, and she never knew I was working on it. And on Mother's Day, you know, it took about a year. And so on Mother's Day, I gave her the dedication page, which was to my son for getting me up in the morning and to her for giving me my son. And she looked at it and she's like, what, you're going to write a book? And I was like, no, I wrote the book. It's written. And it took a while for her to get the fact that I'd actually done it without her even being aware of it. So it shows you what a good sleeper she is. So.
Story number two is Paul's book, The Chinatown Death Cloud Peril. And if it sounds pulpy, that's only because it is. It's a romp through 1920s New York featuring some legendary pulp writers. Walter Gibson, creator of The Shadow, Lester Dent, creator of Doc Savage, and L. Ron Hubbard.
Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men?
There are also cameos by some other well-known writers of the era, but I won't ruin it for you. Paul really did his homework, and his attention to detail just makes a good yarn better. For example, did you know that a top pulp writer could turn out 120,000 words a month? 120,000 words a month on a manual typewriter. The racket that must have made. In fact, there's a part in the book where Lester Dent is banging away on a manual typewriter and breaks it. He doesn't miss a beat. He tosses it aside and pulls out a fresh typewriter. The guy wrote so much that he kept spare typewriters around. Anyway, if you're looking for a summer read that combines the history of the pulps with some pulp-like action of its own, check out The Chinatown Death Cloud Peril. It's a good yarn. And story number three comes with its own t-shirt. So I had a store on cafepress.com. Hadn't really promoted it much. Sold a few shirts. Sold one tile box with my logo on the top. Hey, why not? What you keep in a box that has my logo on a tile on top? But hey, it's free country. And then one day, Cafe Press sends me a form email saying that they've pulled all of my products. Very charming. Naturally, this piques my curiosity. So I emailed them, requesting an explanation. Okay. Demanding an explanation. Here's what they had to say. Your use of the strong likeness to that of the iPod in your design is problematic as it may infringe on Apple's trade dress rights. You know, it's a concern. Not a large concern. Not a serious concern. Not the kind of thing that adults should waste their time worrying about. For a couple reasons. One, if Apple starts aggressively protecting their trade dress rights, there are many more people they're going to go after before they get to little old me. Two, I might be able to make a pretty good case that the logo is parody and therefore protected. And three, it's a logo for a product that only encourages people to buy and use iPods. But that's not the point. While this is going on, Apple features the Shanachie, which means they put a giant banner with my logo on it on the iTunes Music Store.
That's so stupid. My brain hurts.
So, I send another email to Cafe Press. I attach a screenshot with my logo on the iTunes Music Store and send it to them with the following email. This is the iTunes Music Store podcast section from 3 days ago. I know it's not you personally, but as a matter of policy, how am I supposed to see Cafe Press as anything but some kind of a jerk company? Please help me. I've got 5,000 plus listeners who would find this story both funny and entertaining, but I know how damaging bad PR can be. Please, talk me off the ledge here, because I feel like I've been wronged. And the $6.95 you just dinged my credit card for a store that couldn't possibly sell anything? That's the intersection of insult and injury. Well, that was a month ago, and I haven't heard anything back from them. So now, they get the prime time. But I'm happy to announce there's a new t-shirt available for sale on theshawnakey.com. It's actually created with a much better service and is higher quality, spreadshirt.com, which I highly recommend. Who knows what evil lurks in the heart of cafepress.com? The Shawnakey knows.